Fans, don't forget, in these times that we're going through now, you need a good bank, and Bridge Bank is the way to go. And I've said this countless times since we started doing the shows this way in March. There are so many pitfalls, so many forms to fill out, so many things to do to qualify for loans and to get things going for your business. Bridge Bank gets it done. Fred Voss, of course, the senior marketing director here in Northern California, has been on with us. Ivachito Cordova, Mike Letterman, Anthony Garcia, Jesse Garcia, sorry, down in San Jose, formerly at Bellarmine High School. They understand banking. Plus, they love baseball, too. So give Bridge Bank a call. Check them out online. Bridge Bank, a member of the FDIC and the Western Alliance Bank family. Joining us from Arizona, I'm sure in triple digits, he writes for the Arizona Republic. We love having him on during the season, and he's a good colleague and a good friend. That is Nick Pecoro. Nick, how are you?
Hey, Marty. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, we're glad to have you. Triple digits today?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's smoking hot. We had a little bit of a respite. I don't know when you went back, but I know last time we talked, it was real hot. But it cooled down for a little bit, and it's probably back to being real, real hot for a real long time.
Okay. All right. We had J.P. Hornstra on the show with us this evening, and talked a little bit about the mood in L.A., baseball-wise. And Arizona, I see the protests are picking up a little bit more. The COVID-19 cases are picking up dramatically more, which I'm sorry to see. And, of course, I left in the middle of May when things were opening up. But, you know, you're down there. You cover the Diamondbacks, but you're part of the community. How is the community dealing with COVID, number one? And number two, the impact it may have on baseball as we go forward, because it sounds like there will be a season in some form, which we'll talk about in a second.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think people are dealing with it in a lot of different ways. And I don't think there's any real, like, consensus, I guess. It just feels like a lot of people are kind of ready to just move on and ready to go on with their lives. And I go out and I go to places and don't see too many people wearing masks, which is probably part of the reason why, like you said, things are the way they are. And I think that there's other people that are kind of calling on, you know, more action from our elected leaders, but they haven't really done anything about it. The governor held a press conference last week that was basically just the message was, don't worry, we have the hospital beds. It really wasn't anything about how we can slow it or, you know, what else can be done. It was more like, you know, it almost felt like, hey, it's okay, go ahead and get sick, we'll be able to handle it, which, you know, is a troubling thing for me to hear. But for other people, I mean, I know a lot of people just are ready to get on with it and maybe ready to roll the dice in a way. But yeah, and then I mean, and it feels like with all that going on here, with obviously the Black Lives Matter movement, it really feels like sports and baseball have very much moved to the back burner. And then you talk about the labor dispute, and that I think forces it even further to the back of people's minds. That's kind of where I would say it stands at the moment.
Boy, Nick Pecoro with us, Arizona Republic. Good answer on that. You know, through Twitter and the social media platforms, of course, there's so much going on in the world, which you just described, other than just baseball. But it seems 90% sort of like, come on, let's get this thing settled. If we're going to play. Is that the feeling you get from the fans down there? I know you, of course, you're not the national, but the beat writer for the Diamondbacks, and I'm sure you get a lot of tweets and emails. What kind of emails are you getting?
Yeah, I mean, most of the things that I'm seeing from people is they can't believe that they can't get this figured out. You know, given where we are as an economy, as a society, and just how bad of a look it is, I don't disagree with that. I also think it's just such a trying situation for both the players and the owners to try to come to an agreement at a time when they don't have any revenue coming in the form of tickets. I I guess it's just like, it feels just like classic baseball to me to have like the worst possible outcome and be blamed for all of these things. I guess what I mean is, like, look at the NBA and the NHL. They're, you know, 75-80%, maybe further, I'm not sure, into their season. Mm-hmm. They already made a lot of money. They already had a lot of, fulfilled a lot of their contractual obligations. It's a lot easier for them to figure out a way back. Baseball, it's just, this is a really difficult thing to negotiate. And then you add in the fact that there's a pandemic going on and the fact that you're trying to figure it all out in a short period of time, and that there's acrimony between the two sides. Like, yeah, they should. It'd be really disastrous, I think, if they don't come to an agreement and work something out. And I mean, like you said, there's probably going to be some season. But like, I also understand why they're having so much trouble. It's just it's a really tricky spot to be in.
Yeah, it is. It's complicated. And I say the negotiation should be the easy part. It's how you play a game and move people around and stay away from the virus and what baseball is going to look like without fans. Try watching 50 or 60 games without fans, what that's going to be like for a listening audience. So there are a lot of tricky moments ahead, although Turner Sports did kick in $1 billion starting, I think, in 2022. I think Bob Nightingale wrote for some of the playoff rights. So the money is there. And I agree with you. This is one of those tricky situations. Well, the draft gave me a little bit of joy to see young people get excited and jump up and down, and the families, and some genuine baseball joy for a change. The Diamondbacks went heavy on pitching, and the one fellow, Jarvis from Duke, had a tremendous, tremendous background. His dad, of course, pitched in the big leagues as well. Tell us about the Diamondbacks draft.
Yeah, I agree. It was kind of nice to watch that and actually see some baseball on TV again, and some guys that you might be able to see down the road. I don't know if you watched much of the second day, but it just felt like there was just too much time between picks. It just felt like it was taking forever. I don't know what the answer is to try to televise day two of the draft, but it really felt like it was dragging. But the Diamondbacks wound up taking four pitchers out of their five selections. Bryce Jarvis, the son of Kevin Jarvis, was their first one. He's really turned himself into a guy with pretty darn good stuff. He went from being kind of a strike throwing, you know, a little bit of on the softer type to a guy that's thrown in the mid-90s now. So they really like him. Their system has got a lot of good young position players, a lot of up the middle type of guys. And now they've added in some arms in this draft and last year. So it's really kind of helped to balance out their system. I really like what they're doing. I think the future is, I mean, look, who knows what these guys are going to be, but it's easier to feel good about the future for this organization.
Well, that's a positive way to look at it. Pitching wise, you never know what you're going to get. If there's a 50 game season, do you feel the Diamondbacks are in good shape? And again, who knows what it's going to look like, what the taxi squad will look like, what shape people will be in. But do the Diamondbacks have enough pitching even for the 50-game season?
Yeah, I actually would feel like that's a thing that they have a fair amount of. I think that going into spring training, I don't know where you stood. I can't remember how much we've talked about Merrill Kelly. But, kind of a really, to me, a solid number four, number five starter. Had a really solid year last year in that role. I mean, assuming you're, you know, aligning your expectations in with that slot in the rotation. They didn't have a place in the rotation for him if the season had started. If everyone had been healthy when the season started. I think beyond that, they've got a kid named Alex Young who threw pretty well. So, I mean, that's kind of a seven deep right there in their starting pitching. And the first five are guys that, you know, obviously Bumgarner and Luke Weaver and Zach Gallen and Mike Leake and Robbie Ray. And I think that's everyone. It's a pretty decent rotation. And they've got a couple of guys there behind them that you feel good about the depth. But, you know, it's just going to be such a weird situation because you're going to be asking guys to ramp back up a few months after they were already ramped up once. And I can understand why a lot of people seem to have some trepidation about what that's going to entail and if that's going to lead to a lot of injuries. So we could be seeing teams dipping despite only being, you know, a 50 game season. Maybe teams are going to be dipping as far down into their pitching depth as they do in a normal year. I don't know. I'm a little afraid. I just kind of wonder what's going to happen with a lot of those guys. It's just such an unusual thing for them to be putting their arms through.
Well, interesting. Nick Pecora with us. Nick, we'll ask you one more tough question. Black Lives Matter. What will be the effect in a baseball clubhouse or in a baseball field that we will actually feel a tangible effect of that?
Wow, I have no idea. I hadn't thought about that. I would like to think that that, you know, at least baseball in a lot of ways is a bit of a meritocracy when it comes to giving opportunities to guys to play. But I think that this game has a long way to go in terms of you know, actually getting the black community playing baseball. It's this game has kind of turned into, in a lot of ways, I've talked to a lot of scouts about this, guys on the amateur side, it's kind of turned into a bit of a country club sport in a lot of ways, where the guys that are getting drafted are often guys that are coming from strong financial situations and you know, affluent families. You know, the kids have a chance to go play in front of the right scouts or get in front of the right coaches or, you know, play on those travel ball teams. And it's a problem. And I think it's an issue. I think that's some of the same stuff explains why the front offices lack so much diversity. So the game definitely has a long way to go. I know they've been trying to address these things for a long time. But I don't know. That's a really good question in terms of what is going to change in the room. I feel like it's always such a hodgepodge and such a, you know, melting pot or whatever you want to call it in those clubhouses. And most of the time it seems like, you know, look, there's always cliques and stuff, especially when language barriers are involved. But it feels like with the Diamondbacks, at least the teams I've been around, all those guys seem to get along real well. But that's a really good question. I'd be curious to see if there is going to be much change.
Yeah, that's a story for baseball to see how it plays out. But in my opinion, there's no turning back. And baseball can't turn away, and issues cannot be sidestepped. And you can't say, well, that's what happened in June and May and June, and okay, let's forget about it. Let's go back to business as usual. It's going to be different at the ballpark, and baseball is going to have to be responsive for that. But you're right. It's a good question. I don't know the answer, but that is something that we'll see how it plays out. Well, hey, I appreciate you being on as always and getting a good, interesting report on the Diamondbacks. You're positive for them. And, of course, getting all the pitching, the more pitching, the better for Arizona, because they sure could score some runs. And we'll see how this thing turns out. Plus, you got Bumgarner. We forgot about that.
Yeah. No, I mean, Marty, in a 50-game season, like, I mean, we're talking about,
really?
What, the middle or end of May normally,
yeah.
Right? I mean, that's what are we saying in the middle or end of May? Like, it's early. So much can change. Like, I don't know. It does make you wonder about the legitimacy of that kind of a season. But, hey, at least it'll be baseball, and at least we'll have something to watch.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll see how fans react to, you know, watching games with no fans. But I know what baseball wants, and they do want to get it back on the picture, and they want to get to a postseason where all the money is, and that's what this whole thing is all about. So, hey, take care of yourself, and always a pleasure having you on. If something comes up, we'll give you a call. Appreciate it.
Okay, sounds good, Marty.
All right, that is Nick Pecora. Always a pleasure to have him on from the Arizona Republic. Hey, if you're around Original Joe's North Beach, of course in San Francisco, Monday through Thursday, 3 p.m. to 9 p.m., Friday noon to 9 p.m., Saturday and Sunday 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., with brunch offered from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., 415-775-4877. Now, I've been in touch with Carolina today from Original Joe's, and outdoor seating is now available at Original Joe's North Beach. Same menu that they offer for takeout, but outside. So good news for John Dugan, the most unique restaurateur in Bay Area history, and certainly right now. And Carolina, thank you for that update. That's Original Joe's North Beach. Westlake still the same, and we'll have more on that as the show goes on tonight. All right, more coming up. We thank Nick Pecora. More coming up, KMBR 680-1045, the sports leader.